The event that is described in today's gospel, for Mark and for Mark's community of faith, really has nothing to do with healing. It is a teaching about baptism. And there are five or six elements in that story that are meant to remind the community and to remind us exactly what baptism is all about. In the story, the paralyzed man is brought to Jesus. There is a group of people, a fairly large group perhaps, who bring him to be healed. Four of them are carrying him because he's unable to go on his own. That's the first piece about baptism. No one comes to the Lord on their own. Every single person who is brought to faith is brought to faith by others. By parents, by family members, by friends, by neighbors, by teachers, by co-workers. We get to faith through the hands of others. These people believed that Jesus could do something for the paralyzed man, and they refused to be turned away. They couldn't get in the front door, so some of them climbed on the roof and lifted off the tiles and then dug through the thatch that was underneath the tiles, and they made a hole, a space that they could then drop the man through. Jesus saw all of this. And St. Mark's Gospel says, Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the people who brought the paralyzed man. And Jesus says then to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. The second thing that the Church of Mark was meant to learn about baptism is found in the title or the name that Jesus uses in addressing the paralyzed man. My child. This is not a little boy, so he's not using a diminutive title. This is an adult person. He's using a word that means relationship. It has nothing to do with how old one is. It has to do with the relationship that one has with the one speaking. So the second thing is that in being brought to the waters of baptism, one is brought into relationship with Jesus. That one becomes connected to the Lord. That there is established between the person baptized and the Lord an intimacy, the intimacy of family, the intimacy of relationship. Jesus says to the man, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes are off on the side and they hear this. And they just shake their head. Why does this fellow continue to say things like this? This is blasphemous. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus doesn't say, I forgive your sins. He says, your sins are forgiven. There is no place in the Gospels where Jesus says, I forgive your sins. It is always stated in the passive voice, your sins are forgiven. Because of your great faith, your sins are forgiven. Means God forgives you. Jesus, though, is the broker. He's the intermediary. He's the mediator between the paralyzed man and God. And that's what the scribes find blasphemous. Because there was a way for sin to be forgiven. People would go to the temple. They would ask for the prayer of the priest. They would make an offering, a sacrifice, a sin offering. And then because of the offering and the prayer and the disposition of the individual, the people of Israel believed that God forgave. Well, what was blasphemous to the scribes is that, in effect, Jesus was saying, you don't need the temple. The temple is no longer the intermediary. The temple is no longer the agent. The temple is no longer the mediator. I am that. Because he will go on to say, which is easier, to say, stand up and walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven, but so that you might know that on earth the Son of Man has power over sin, I say. So Jesus announces himself as being the mediator by which reconciliation takes place between God and the individual, between God and the community. So the third piece of this is that it is in the baptism of the individual, it is in this relationship with Jesus, that what is mediated to us is the reconciling, life-giving presence of God. Then Jesus says to the man, stand up. And the man stands up. The word that is used for stand up, the word that is used for rise up, the word that is used for get up, the word that is used for stand on your feet, that word is the same word that the scripture author uses to describe what happens in the resurrection. Jesus stands up. Jesus rises up. In baptism, as a person comes out of the water, symbolizing the death and resurrection, the death of the Lord, that person rises up, stands up, as the paralytic man stood up, as Jesus stood up. In baptism, you and I rise with the Lord. And then the last piece of the instruction is found in the reaction, the effect of what has occurred. The man goes out through the crowd, and the man is filled with joy, and everyone who sees him is filled with wonder and amazement and glorifies God. The effect of baptism is a life which gives glory to God. So what the author is saying to the community, to that community of Luke, of Mark, is that each of us came to the waters of baptism, each of us came into relationship with Jesus Christ, not on our own hook, but we were led there by the faith of others. And in that process, we entered into an intimate, familial relationship with Jesus. Jesus the Lord, who is the mediator, between all of creation and God, in virtue of whom we are reconciled, we are brought into union, we are made one with the living God. And that coming out of that experience, we are configured or marked by the resurrection of the Lord. We are a people marked by the victory over death and sin. And our lives are to be lives by which glory is given to God. Our lives are to be lives of witness. Now, it's wonderful that the church puts this scripture passage before us today, just a few days before Ash Wednesday, a few days before the beginning of Lent. You know, sometimes it's possible to forget where a person comes from. Or sometimes it's possible for a person to even forget who he or she is. And the season of Lent is meant to be a time in which you and I are reminded and remind ourselves where we came from. The season in which we are in a very particular way invited to remember who we are. We are people who have been led to the Lord Jesus Christ by the faith of others. And we have a debt to pay, a debt of gratitude to the faith of those who led us to faith. We have been drawn into an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have been brought into a familiarity with the Lord. And that Lord has helped us, has drawn us, has lifted us into reconciliation with God. We are people who bear within ourselves the very imprint and mark of the resurrection. We are people who live today eternal life. And our lives are meant to reflect that. Our lives are meant to give witness to that. Our lives are meant to glorify God. And so what the church says, take those 40 days. Remember who you are. Remember where you came from. And the way you do that is by creating some space to reflect. Creating some space. Some space in mind and heart to reflect. The second way you do that is by works of charity and works of justice by which you live out who you are. And the third way is you remove all those things that may impede or may stand in the way of a simple living of one's Christian life. Well, I would encourage you over the next 2 days to do some reflecting as to how you choose to observe this coming season, remembering who we are, remembering that baptism by which our identity and destiny is conferred. use these 2 days to do some thinking and soul searching, so that when we come on Wednesday to begin the season, we do so with mind and heart ready to enter into that time of special grace, special gift, by which the Lord invites us to a deeper appreciation of our very selves and our destiny.